With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's bring him in now, Jim Ozarski, and he is with the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. So you wrote a piece about kind of the chemistry, the camaraderie, the culture, if you will, of the Green Bay Packers. And I know that you interviewed a lot of different people regarding that. First and foremost, let me ask you this. Why focus on the culture?
Yeah, Bill. I mean, the seeds of this were planted for me back in May when we first got around the guys. And, you know, back then, you know, no one was going to be definitive or make any predictions about how the year was going to go. But I got a sense early that something was different, both in their buy-in with the head coach, which was a question back then, right? And then how they felt about each other. So I just kind of kept paying attention to it as guys. And then obviously the way they started, the way they ended the year, it became more of a broader storyline. So that's honestly why it hooked me, was because it was something they were talking about in the locker room, willing to talk about early. And then, honestly, Bill, like, I think you can say this, Packers fans can say it, I think they overachieved a little bit. And to me, these guys attribute a lot of their wins to this sort of off-field chemistry they had, this buy-in they had for the head coach. Because frankly, Bill, you know, I mean, the eye test, they were an average team.
They were an average team, but for whatever reason, they overachieved. It's hard to say, well, they got lucky at 13-3. I mean, you got to have some luck. I agree with that. But you also have to figure out ways to win. I've always said championship teams figure out ways to win. This team figured out ways to win down the stretch. Plus, to other teams, they forced either into mistakes or whatever. I mean, right place, right time, whatever you want to call it. I think they're above average. I don't think they were championship caliber, but I think they've got enough on this team that if they put a few more pieces around them, they can be. But I think that it all started with the hiring of Matt LaFleur, the strength that he gave the team members as far as running their own asylum, so to speak, being able to say, okay, you put it on the table, have this leadership group, all these different things, I think, empowered players to take ownership.
Yeah, for sure, Bill. And I think so fans kind of want to know, how does chemistry and buy-in and, as you said, ownership of your rooms, if you're a position group leader, of a defense, of an offense. I mean, football is the one sport where you quite literally can give up your body. You can give things of yourself to help the greater good, to help the guys behind you, next to you. And where does that start? I mean, guys, we know this, Bill. I mean, guys make business decisions in this league, and, you know, for whatever reason. And I think things like that had happened the last 3-4 years. They can be off on their own. And I think that chemistry, that buy-in, helps you hit a ceiling. You know, you're right. You look back at it now, there was a talent gap, probably a coaching gap with San Francisco. But I don't know, Bill, if we could sit here and legitimately say, wow, this was a true NFC power. I think as they were working through a lot of the stuff on the field, this off-the-field stuff helped them maybe reach a level, you know, a team 2 years ago might not have reached.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, because I'd said, look, Aaron Rodgers didn't have to be everything. Aaron Rodgers had to be just a quarterback and maybe an offensive leader. He didn't have to be the guy that saved the defense from themselves. He didn't have to be the guy that was the voice of everything. He didn't have to be the disciplinarian and all the other stuff that goes along with it. It seems like Preston, Zadarius Smith, some of the guys they brought in, the coach, all kind of took that pressure off of him this year. Did you see that too?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, and that's something, you know, Aaron said too. I paraphrased it in the story, but he did say flat out at one point, Zadarius coming in and his manner, his outgoing nature, his willingness to sort of push everyone else to be involved, to do things, got Aaron Rodgers to do some more stuff than he had done in the past. And I also think that the quarterback wanting to get involved early, you know, going to player-led events, you know, he was allowed to sort of operate in a leadership lane he's been comfortable with. And Mason Crosby said the same thing. He's like, look, it allowed Aaron to fill the role leadership-wise he wants to fill and feels good about. So off the field that worked, Bill. And then to your point on the field, I think it helped the whole deal. Rodgers was the first one to talk about playing to a role, right, back in Dallas. You know, so I think it all intertwined with that off-field stuff and then obviously on the field.
So where now? We're talking with Jim Ozarski, by the way, at Green Bay Press Gazette. But where now? Now that you've got a culture change, now what's next in your opinion?
Yeah, that's, you know, I think it's a talent upgrade, you know, at receiver, at tight end. You know, I think inside linebacker, Bill, I think there were issues on the D-line with Montrevious Adams not being the guy they thought coming out of camp. I think the back end had some issues, which is why you had a coaching change back there. So I'm going to go on the offense. I think Gutekunst needs to address that like he did the defense a year ago. And quite frankly, they just need to be better. The offensive construction, the quarterback's play needs to be more consistent. So that's where they go. But the culture thing, that just, you can't do it once. Bill, you know this. You can't do it once and assume it's fixed and there forever.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be worked on. That those guys still need to buy in and need to be involved just as they were a year ago. Or you can add all the talent you want, but if guys aren't into one another or into the head coach, then it falls away like we saw a couple years ago.
Do you think that, because I had said, look, a veteran wide receiver and obviously a couple of draftees, you got to find a tight end. You got to figure out your right tackle position. And from everything I gathered when we were down in Miami, everybody seems to think that Kenny Clark needs some more beef alongside him. That, you know, it's decent that they've got some guys that they really say work hard. And, you know, the Tyler Lancasters of the world, which are great, but they're not overly special players. And they need some special depth up front. So, to me, you need a linebacker. You need some of that specialness. You need Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster guys. They need different guys around Kenny Clark. Is that where you start as well?
Yeah, I think so, defensively. I know fans are going to scream about inside linebacker, and I get that, and that's legitimate to a degree. But, look, I mean, I think the reason Bill Mike Daniels was cut was because they thought Montrevious Adams was ready, you know?
Right.
And yeah, he was hurt. He played through some stuff. But I think the fact that he didn't take that step that they thought hurt. I mean, Tyler Lancaster is a good player. He'll probably be in this league for 8 years. But he was an undrafted guy for a reason. I mean, Adams was a third-round pick. So, yeah, I think they need a bigger body up front that can help Kenny Clark more consistently, where then you can work in, you know, Lancaster for depth. And Lowry, I mean, I think he's more of an end, right? I mean, he filled a role and he did what he had to do. But I don't know if they paid him that money to necessarily be an every down run or early down run stopper. So you're right, Bill. It all starts up front, both sides of the ball, and I think that D-line area will be an emphasis.
Before I let you go, I wanted to also ask you, free agency wise, do you have a gauge as to, because the numbers are all over the place, do you have a gauge as to how much money they're actually going to have to spend this offseason?
No, you're right. It's hard to say right now, Bill, because obviously you've got potentially $15 million sitting out there with Lane Taylor and Jimmy Graham if they decide to move on. But you feel like the Graham thing is inevitable, right?
Right.
Taylor's interesting to me, Bill, because I mean, they paid Billy Turner $7 million. Now, that's not a huge number, but do they kick him to right tackle? And if you kick him to right tackle,
do you think Billy Turner's a right tackle?
No, I don't.
Man. I mean, I like Billy Turner. He's a good guy, but I don't think he's a right tackle.
Right. I don't know. I don't know how they feel about him. You know what I mean? And so, because he's played there, right? I don't know. I don't know what the long-term plan was for him. Is he a $7 million right guard? If so, then yeah, Lane Taylor's gone. In my opinion, you can't pay a backup 4+. So, no, I don't have that's a long way around, Bill, to say I don't know how much money they have to work with, because I think there's some things they may do. To free up some more money, but it'll be interesting. I mean, because obviously Brian Gutekunst has proved, A, he'll win a bidding war, as we saw with Za'Darius Smith, if he really wants that guy. And clearly, you know, when the GM says that at the end of the year, I wanted to make a trade, and we're going to fix this room, it makes you think he's going to be aggressive in that area in some form or fashion.
The offensive line is probably your first priority to figure that out, and then to kind of go from there. I got the sense that Lane Taylor kind of thought maybe he was gone. He doesn't want to go, but I think he kind of thought that he was gone. And really, Billy Turner, for as much as you want to talk about him, he was probably their most inconsistent offensive lineman all season long, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that, you know, for sure. I think Turner had his moments. It really, Billy, this was his first full year. He's a veteran. This is his first full year as a starter and at one position for 16 games. So obviously they were betting on that, the growth. So changing positions is probably not the best idea for him. But you're right. Right tackle is a big one, Bill. Look, I know fans are getting excited about receivers in the first round. You know this. If you're going to get a real tackle, that's a first-round pick. And I know David Bakhtiari, you could tell me that all day, but that's an outlier in this league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't find tackles that good that late. So if Bulaga is the big one. That might be the biggest domino, Bill, for all of this. Are they going to pay him? If so, that changes the money everywhere else. And if not, that changes the draft board for everyone else.
This is the year that if you're going to push the chips to the table, push them now, because then Aaron Rodgers' contract after this upcoming season goes up exponentially. It's like $18 million more the season after, right?
Exactly right. That contract comes due in the next couple of years. So you're right. This is it. This is the, you know, they can get creative, I guess, but in terms of a splash dollars-wise, you're right, Bill. This is it, and then you got to roll with that draft develop the final couple years of Rodgers' deal.
I found it interesting, and I'll leave you on this, that there's a lot of talk about Patrick Mahomes and the contract. And one of the things that Patrick Mahomes was quoted at is saying that exactly what I've been saying, that if quarterbacks grab all the money and it's there, there's nobody says you shouldn't take it. But he said, I understand the ability then to go out and fortify the rest of the guys. He said, I can't lose. And he went through a litany of guys. So it's different because he's recognizing the fact that, hey, Tom Brady didn't take a ton of money and was able to keep guys around him. And as soon as he started getting paid, all of a sudden, boom, you start to lose some of your weapons. Same thing with Eli Manning. Same thing with Joe Flacco. Once they got that big money, it was never the same after the fact. Are we looking at a Green Bay Packers team with a quarterback that once he starts making all the money, it will never be the same because they don't have that ability?
Wow, that's a great question. Now, in fairness to Rodgers, he did restructure.
Correct.
So they did open. So you don't know that he wouldn't do it going forward. You're right. I guess that puts up Brian Gutekunst and his staff. Can he have the same kind of draft as the last two, where he gets two starters for sure, plug and play, and a couple depth guys? Because he's done that the last couple years. So if you're in the Goody We Trust camp, then you got to feel good about the quarterback getting paid, right? Because you feel that those rookie deal guys are going to be with you in core players for 4 years. So personally, Bill, even objectively, I think he's drafted well. I think they're on the right path with some of that stuff. So I think spend what you can, like you said, this year, whether it's Bulaga, right tackle, maybe a receiver, you know. But I do think they're drafted well enough that they can manage the Rodgers deal these last couple years.
Always good, Jim. We'll talk to you soon, pal. Appreciate it.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
There you go. That's Jim Ozarski joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.